worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
I think I might be Bear Kin, for sure.
Ian Hunter.
Anything with file at the end of it typically does not have a good connotation.
Mickey.
I'm just now envisioning a cherub with unicorn legs.
And Lazy E.
I want to be a nude centaur.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
My name is Crisco, and I am almost out of the Dark Ages. Thankfully, finally, my ordeal is almost over. That was for you, Ian, too. That was just for you, you smart aleck. My name is Crisco. I am the host of this here podcast known as A Freak Accident, and I am joined by Lazy E.
And he's saying this because he's finally going to get internet. Oh, yeah, my God.
I'm finally going to have my internet, hopefully tomorrow at the time of this recording anyway. Hopefully, hopefully. Ian Hunter's here, too, as mentioned.
He won't have internet if I can get there first. We're going to keep this thing going for as long as we can.
You're
going
to die in the most brutal way possible. And Mickey is here.
I think we have bets going on if you're going to have internet, if they're going to go back on strike, or if there's going to be a blackout by the time you get the internet.
You should also have an over-under on which body part of Ian's I'm going to use to beat him to death after I tear it off of him.
Oh, my God.
So, welcome to the show. It is A Freak Accident. Send us an email, freaks@afreakaccident.com, if you'd like to reach out to us and get in touch with us. That's the way to do it, the best way. And our website is afreakaccident.com. In case you couldn't guess, click connect on the menu bar. You'll also find us all over social media, and all those links are in the connect page on our website. Also, if you visit the podcast page of our website, every single episode we've ever done, which you can't always find on places like Google Play Music or iTunes, which we are also located on, feel free to subscribe at either of those places. Leave us a good review on iTunes, especially. Help us climb the iTunes charts, because that's sort of the billboard charts for podcasts, as it were. But if you subscribe, we get automatically delivered to you. So look us up, subscribe, interact with us on social media, send emails, all that good stuff. And we'd love to hear from you. And I'm really excited about today's episode. So we ready to get this thing started?
You know, before we do, Mickey,
have
you gotten to drawing the classic nude of myself and Crisco and me as the half-nude centaur?
No, I have not.
You see, you're missing out on a lot of money.
I am not.
Huge money opportunity.
Listen,
I am not.
If he's going to be a nude centaur, I want to be a merman, but top half mer, bottom half man. Can you do that? So I'm like a fish on top with a human legs?
You see, Mickey, the reason why you're missing out on money, though, you remember last week when I told you movie executives were saying that there was going to be a new movie for the Lazy E, the Nude Centaur?
Yeah, it's his autobiography. Apparently, somehow he got a movie deal based off of it. I don't know how. I don't know why. I'm afraid.
Well, guess what? It's coming out, and we have the trailer.
Lazy E was a normal radio DJ, hacking it up on the mic every chance he got.
Angelina Jolie, 131 million.
That was until the day he went to a horse track. While betting a trifecta, a girl threw a pile of manure into his face.
What?
But what that three-year-old didn't know is by throwing that pile of crud into his face, she would create the world's greatest superhero. Lazy E, the Nude Centaur. He gallops through the night, stealing the thunder of wrongdoers across the world. Half man.
Hi, how you doing?
Half centaur. Half superhero. 100% bad at math. It's Lazy E, the Nude Centaur. Coming to theaters this fall.
What's it rated?
It's not rated yet. They're still waiting on that.
You waiting for the Motion Picture Association to get back to you?
Yeah. It's still being worked out. We might have to do some recuts. I mean, you know.
Question.
Yeah.
Why are you nude, though?
Why? That'd be stupid.
Centaurs wear armor. Why not wear something?
If me as a centaur was wearing pants, now that would just be weird.
I want to be a chimera, but all different kinds of bunnies. Rather than, like, snake and lion and tiger or whatever.
When we started this show today, didn't I say I couldn't handle stupid?
You say that every time you come in to do the show. And every time I say, well, deal with it.
Today I'm not processing it.
Doesn't that make you stupid for keep showing up?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Man, you said that like someone in a hostage situation. Just like,
kind of feel like I am.
You sort of are.
I'm here.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're good.
Stop trying to blink Morse code SOS. They can't see you. We're on a radio show or a podcast, whatever you want to call it. It's a type of radio, right? It's broadcast media.
Yeah. No, it's podcast.
It's broadcast media. It's the same kind of thing that radio is.
Except not.
It's podcast. It goes through the internet that you don't have.
Ha!
Oh, man! There it is!
You know, what are you guys going to make fun of me for after I get it tomorrow?
I'm sure we'll find something else.
I'm sure you will. It's not like the laundry list isn't long.
I have a laundry list. It's extensive. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Wow. Does it start at the door?
It does, actually. Yeah.
Says the guy who, walks into things just randomly, gets electrocuted, falls off of things.
Lampposts.
Doesn't know how to get his suit properly tailored.
Oh, man.
It's okay. I yelled pretty good at my neighbor last night for something stupid he did. So.
Oh, really? Good. So you're making people dumb by proxy then?
No, that's not. Well, this guy was already dumb. No, he and his band, this guy's in his 50s, he has a garage band.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's awful. It sounds just as bad as you think it does.
Is it at least original music or is it covers?
No, he goes from the Blues Brothers to Nirvana, and it's just terrible. And last night, his wife, sister, girlfriend, whatever she is this week, she was yelling out at whoever was driving away of, "When are you coming back?" And it's after 11 o'clock. I'm trying to sleep. All of our windows are open, so I scream back, "They are never coming back!" They didn't think it was as funny as I did.
I don't know. I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought it was hysterical.
Why are cover bands always the worst? Have you noticed that? Mickey knows this, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yes, I do.
Why are they always the worst musicians in the world in cover bands?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know.
Because everyone thinks they can do it.
I mean, I know
well,
bands...
Well, that goes for anything, though. Everybody thinks they can do stuff.
I know original bands who do covers, and sometimes they've done cover songs at, like, a bar or something like that, or at a wedding, and that's... They're usually pretty good at it. But bands that strictly are cover bands are always the worst.
I think the biggest problem is karaoke. Uh-huh. People go to karaoke, somebody goes, "Oh, that was really good," trying to be nice, and they go, "Oh, I should start a band."
No, that's... Well, karaoke was, like, sort of the preliminary thing to American Idol, though, because that has just made it a million times worse. The idea that any random idiot can, you know, show up and get famous by being awful, even in the case of William Hung, or just the idea that, anybody can be the next superstar. No, not anybody can, because you don't have proper training and you're terrible.
So what we're trying to say is karaoke is the gateway music drug.
Yes. Yes,
kind
it
of,
is.
Yeah.
Wow. That's terrible. I loved karaoke.
But yeah. Unlike marijuana, karaoke isn't good for anyone.
Oh, wow.
Taking a hard stance on that. Wow.
You're right. I did. I did just there.
I love karaoke. I do. I'll do it every time.
Here's the thing. If you're going to do karaoke, you have to do it. You have to glorify how bad you are at it. You can't think
that
you're
okay.
Good. Yeah.
That I enjoy, and that I got back home. Here, not so much. People just go up and sing, and there's no emphasis on, you know, because they think they're good.
Right,
so they
yeah.
don't play off that I'm terrible and just let's have fun.
Right.
It's a competition of, like, who can sing better. And I'm like, just have fun with it.
Yeah, you're doing,
like,
it wrong.
Enjoy, and not, yeah, no.
Well, that was why that one time I was at the bar with a couple buddies and we did Bohemian Rhapsody. It was karaoke night. And we got a standing ovation just because we were so obnoxiously bad that everybody loved it.
The one I always get cheers for, like whenever we do it, I always pick another guy and we sing, "Summer Lovin'." And then the best part, "Bah." Oh. That's one of my favorite parts. Why do I know all the Grease songs?
I don't know.
This is a problem. This is a problem.
I would agree with you.
You want to know what we're doing on the podcast today?
Yes, yes, please. Let's get off.
We've got a great, great show ahead. We've got a bunch of people dying, which, in retrospect to what I just said, probably isn't great.
No.
Muhammad Ali's dead and Kimbo Slice is dead. Everybody's dying. 2016 continues to suck. Election 2016. continues to suck. Brock Lesnar will fight in UFC 200. That's big news. We're going to discuss that a little bit. We're going to be hearing from our pal, the Doc, who Lazy E and I were lucky to get in contact with this week.
Plus, you'll hear the hilarious way Brock Lesnar got to get into the UFC.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Amazing.
You didn't hear about that, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, you will. We've got things that you do that make people instantly dislike you.
Being me.
Now, come on. You're likable. You're probably the only likable one on this show.
No. Don't try to steer her wrong. She's got something going right there. Yeah, come on.
And an 82-year-old did the most amazing cover of Bodies by Drowning Pool ever, and he did it on America's Got Talent. So it was on a massive stage as well. You've got to hear this audio. We're going to get to all that and probably more, too, in this episode of A Freak Accident.
Reasons to listen to A Freak Accident. We always go above and beyond in serving our community. The fact that it's court-ordered is irrelevant.
Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, he floats like a butterfly.
I was expecting something different when I saw this song.
I know.
This is the Black Superman Muhammad Ali song by DJ Old School.
I know. Well, he really went old school, like the 50s when he made this song. It's nice.
I want to hold your hand. It's basically that, though.
Who said karaoke was bad? We're fantastic.
That's right, Mickey.
No.
Don't look at me with your condescending eyes. Anyway, this is the death segment. Muhammad Ali is the latest victim of 2016. I swear, this year is methodically taking away all of these great people from us.
Not only one of the greatest sports
people. No, I'm sorry. What are you saying? Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not only the greatest boxer, but the greatest sports athlete. Might have been the greatest sports athlete of all time.
It's arguable. It's definitely arguable.
You can make the argument that Muhammad Ali is the greatest athlete to ever grace American sports.
What's crazy to me is the fact that he won his first world heavyweight championship at, what, was he 22?
Yep.
I think they said. No. That is nuts. What did you do by the time you were 22?
Nothing.
Exactly. I was just happy to be drinking by that point. That was the biggest accomplishment in my life up until that point.
And think, he had, so by the age of 22, he had won his first heavyweight title. He had also won a gold medal. So he had a gold medal and a heavyweight title.
That's right. He competed in the Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
He also threw away his gold medal because of racism in the South, but
well,
he still won it.
Well, that's the other thing, is not only was he an athlete, but he was also he was an activist. You know, he was a political activist. He fought for, like, you know, individual rights, the rights of African Americans in America and everything else. And I mean, he was multi, and he never really did it. He never did the activist stuff out of, like, a sense of hatred. Like, at least I never got that. You know, I never really picked up on it. I think he just did it out of a genuine love for humanity.
He did it because he believed in it, and you could tell.
That's what I mean.
He didn't have a plight because of money being thrown his way this way, or it would benefit him this way. No, he cared for other people. He had money. He knew that. He was fine. Yeah. So he cared about the others.
He genuinely just wanted to break down barriers and shatter perceptions.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he did that in enough ways.
Yeah, absolutely did.
And I think Muhammad Ali, above anything else, loved when the camera was right in front of him.
Oh,
that dude was the biggest showman and, I mean, had an ego that would fill the size of any mansion.
You would know this. Was rap music around yet when he started doing his rhymes and his poems? I don't think it was. So can we attribute the creation of rap music to Muhammad Ali?
I don't think so.
Probably.
Why not?
I'm sure it was there. It just wasn't mainstream yet.
Ah, okay. That could be. Yeah, but he popularized it, so we could still give him credit for it.
I mean, there were people who were...
It's arguable.
There were people doing poetry.
I'm going to give it
to
Muhammad.
Well, poetry always existed before...
Yeah, for like thousands of years.
The funny thing about Muhammad Ali is that, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's right now being... people talk about how much they love him. If you had talked to people about 20 or 30 years ago about Muhammad Ali, you would have gotten in a completely different reaction.
People thought he was cocky because of his promos and things like that. But I'm giving him rap music. Add that to his Wikipedia page now.
Do you know where he learned that cockiness? He learned it from the wrestler Gorgeous George.
That's right, yeah.
Jim Ross said it to CBS Sports, and he was talking about he really learned how to be the bad guy. And that he really did that better than most.
In a lot of ways, I think he inspired people like The Rock.
Yeah.
and you know your other individuals who learned how to cut a really solid promo, you know, and make it more about entertainment than just, oh, well, I really think it's going to be a good fight and all that sort of thing.
Without Muhammad Ali, institutions like WWE probably are not what they are today.
I saw Sonny Liston a few days ago, Cash.
Ain't he ugly? He's too ugly to be the world champ. The world champ should be pretty like me.
That's just an example of one of the things he said.
Or how good he was. If you play like one of his poems he did, he
I predict that he will like go that. In 8 to prove that I am great. And if he want to go to heaven, I'll get him in 7. He'll be in the worst of fix if I cut it to 6. And if he keeps talking jive, I'll cut it to 5.
I love that.
To be able to alliterate like that, rhyme like that. That's where The Rock... Think about all of The Rock's promos. They were like that. And... it was so... I don't know if he planned it, but it didn't seem like he did. That was cool.
Oh, Muhammad Ali, oh, he planned all of that. He loved when the attention was on him, but...
I am the king of the world!
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it, you're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man!
And that's when he was 22!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bad man.
Oh!
And you think he lost 3.5 years of his prime because, you know, he didn't... when he was drafted into the Vietnam War,
right, he said no.
Go.
Yeah,
and you know he lost his title. He was banned from the sport for 3.5 years until
a lot of people have been bringing that up. The fact that he was a draft dodger, he wasn't. He was literally just practicing civil disobedience. He stood up and he said, "No, I'm not going to war."
Yeah, he didn't dodge it. He told them.
He wasn't dodging. He didn't pull a Trump. He just said, "No, I will not be going to war. Thank you very much."
Muhammad Ali didn't dodge anything.
And I'll whoop any man in the world, and I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
That is true. He was the greatest. But now, at 74 years old, he has passed away after a 32-year battle with Parkinson's disease. And that was the thing. I remember when he was lighting the Olympic torch, how bad he was shaking. And I remember thinking, man,
that was 20 years ago.
I know. That's the thing, though. I thought it was bad then. He went on 20 more years. But that's the worst thing is he lost his ability to speak, too, after a while. And that's just the saddest thing in the world, especially hearing some of these promos.
I always say the biggest irony in the world. He could not speak or articulate like he used to. And he was one of the best speakers ever.
Do you think they're going to investigate whether or not his something, I saw a number being tossed around, 20,000 hits to the head that he took throughout his boxing career had anything to do with his Parkinson's disease?
Isn't it a genetic disease, though?
Is it? I don't know if it is.
No, my great uncle, he played pro football and now has Parkinson's disease. He says most of the people he played with also have neurological problems.
There's neurological, I know, but I thought Parkinson's was actually genetic. It wasn't caused.
It could be. Maybe there's a relation, but
it could also be caused by just getting punched thousands of times.
Let me help this investigation.
Okay, Dr. Yes. Hunter, let's go.
Yes. How would it not? How would a disease that, you know, affects your brain and your ability to speak, how would getting punched thousands and thousands of times not have any result in that? It has to. There's no kidding. It had something to do with it.
It would be an absolute crime if this family doesn't allow his brain to go into science.
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of, you know, trying to get more definitive proof that concussions are bad news.
Well, I mean, his faith is Muslim, so I don't believe that they allow for autopsies. I think.
Man, but does that count as an autopsy if they're not trying to find out his death, but more so to better everybody else?
I mean, I think we know. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be so naive that they don't realize that the amount of punishment his body took.
No one's going to want to admit to it because they still want their sports.
Well,
I elect that we have our own experiment. Lazy E will be the control. Ian will not. I say we hit him in the head as many times as we can and see if, Ian, you develop Parkinson's disease over time. After every week, I'm going to hit you in the head with a bat, and we'll see if you get Parkinson's eventually. You down?
For science! I think eventually you're going to be looking at something called manslaughter.
Bat? Listen, I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Science in the meantime.
Now, Mickey, do you want to take a side bet on this? Do you think Ian gets Parkinson's first or Crisco gets the internet?
I'm going to go with me getting Parkinson's first.
That might happen. I'm going to hit you really, really hard. Really, really hard.
I was watching some old Muhammad Ali tape after he passed away, and there was this great tape. I believe he was fighting Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier has Muhammad Ali in the corner, and Frazier's throwing everything that he has.
Every single punch, and Muhammad Ali dodges all of them.
20 punches, and he missed every single one.
And then the best part is right at the end, he does that little dance. Yeah. You know, he does like the little hip shimmy, like, come on, give me more. I can dodge more.
That's one of the most famous psychologies in boxing that he created, the rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
That's what he called it. He says, I'm going to rope the dope.
Yeah.
He always called him the big the big gorilla, the big bear. He always said, the dummy. I love the way he talked.
I just love the shimmy.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that we lost him.
No.
An absolute shame. 2016 continues to rack them up. And then in only the days following it. Kimbo Slice, MMA practitioner, also died. This is Dizzy D.
A favorite.
Song. Your favorite.
Well, Dizzy D, I come after him.
All right, Dizzy D and Lazy E, yeah.
Yeah,
the greatest tag team of all time.
I know.
So Kimbo Slice, who got famous from YouTube videos where he beats up bums, eventually became a professional MMA fighter, and now he's dead. You know what, though? I think I'm honestly not. I mean, it's tragic whenever anybody dies, but I'm not surprised by this at all. Especially that last fight. I don't even know who the fight was against, but it was in Bellator. Is that how?
Bellator.
Bellator MMA?
It was Camp Shamrock, wasn't it? Or no, he had another one after
no,
that.
No, it was, yeah. But it was in Bellator, and he fought some guy. Both of them. I remember people were mocking it because the fight went like three rounds, and the two of them were so gassed in this fight that the last round was literally them just like leaning against each other trying to see who would fall over first, and they were both just exhausted and ridiculously out of shape. And I mean, it's kind of like when you see how quickly he deteriorated after that, it's like you kind of wonder what happened. I know he was waiting for a heart transplant.
That was the heartbreaking part. It was only about a day prior that they were talking about it, and he was on the list and he was moving closer, and he just didn't make it.
He was hospitalized very suddenly, and then he died in the hospital while he was waiting for the heart transplant.
Yeah.
So a lot of people thought it was going to end up being like drugs or something else. It wasn't. It was just he had a very severe form of heart disease, I guess, that ended up killing him, which, I mean, that's...
How funny is it that a guy that big, that strong, I mean, and that menacing, that tough, you know, it's just one little thing, heart disease.
Biology! The reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of death.
I just want to point something out to Ian. You said he was so big and menacing, and something so tiny, like his heart went out. Something so tiny, you know, like a pebble or a heart.
What was he, the Grinch? Had his heart shrunk three sizes recently? Because
Kimbo Slice was a big dude. In comparison, his heart was not as big as he was my point.
Okay, but
they
still.
They usually aren't.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I'm wondering if it's just like he really wanted to meet Muhammad Ali and he never got the chance, and now he figured, ooh, here's my opportunity.
Oh.
They're going to meet beyond the pearly gates.
You know, you just brought this up. This is a really big sign for the Grinch. His heart grew 10 times the size. That is an enlarged heart, sir. He's going to die.
Yeah. You should probably go to the hospital, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, you know what those who's are trying to do? They're filling you up with all of that food, so you die.
Trying to kill you off. Yeah, guess what? Our problems are going to be over after he's dead.
Yeah. Who dead? Him.
Somebody get the Grinch to the hospital. Anyway, Muhammad Ali, Kimbo Slice, may you both rest in peace.
Check out our podcast archive, where you can hear every episode we've ever recorded, including all the old ones. Or if you're an Alzheimer's patient, all the new ones.
You remember, right?
Yes.
Podcast.afreakaccident.com.
Well, election season is winding down. The primaries both appear to be over, really, at this point. And we're just waiting for the conventions and the general election to begin.
I don't know if it's this election or it's because Facebook and Twitter are so prominent now. I'm so exhausted from it already.
Yeah.
It's just every other post I see, I'm like, listen, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, shut up.
And I follow a lot of political people on Twitter, too. A lot. That's the thing. I'm very passionate about politics. That's why this segment, which is covering the election, is going to be exceedingly difficult for me.
Chris goes on lockdown.
Yes. Politichris goes on lockdown, yes. Rather. I got to keep him in his little box and not let him out. Ian, stay away from that box. Don't touch the box. You keep your hands to yourself. You understand?
Ian, give me the stick.
You poke that bear, bad things are going to happen. So I'm going to do this as objectively as I possibly can with my passion for politics in mind. Just last night, there were primaries in a litany of states. I believe we had California was the big one because there's like a couple hundred delegates up for grabs there.
And then you had New Mexico, I think,
was up. New Jersey, I know, was up.
Wasn't Puerto Rico?
It might have been.
I'm almost certain.
Does anyone ever remember Puerto Rico? How many times have they voted to be the 51st state in the union, and every year Congress is like, oh, yeah, that's nice, guys. That's nice. Just stay down there, okay?
It's two things you always forget about, Puerto Rico and Dre.
What? I didn't forget about Dre.
You forget about Dre, I know, and that's why Eminem made that song.
You're out of your mind.
Never forget about Dre.
So anyway, we had I didn't even realize, even up until last night, Donald Trump hadn't secured the number of delegates yet needed to be the presumptive nominee. It was rumored that he had, but after last night, it confirmed it. So he is now, he has the number of required delegates to secure the nomination. Because it's basically a race. It's a race to see who can collect the most delegates first. And whoever gets there first usually ends up being the nominee, even though there's a couple primaries left. I think there's a couple states that still have to vote, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what states are left at this point. It feels like it's been going on for years and years and years.
That's why you'll see Bernie Sanders supporters will still be pushing for it because they're like, it's not over. It's grasping onto straws at this point.
Well, it is over. Hillary was the first because that was on the other side, yeah. on the Republican side. I almost said the Russian side.
It might be safer over there at this point.
At some point, yeah, you lose track because, I mean, there is no denying that this election is the worst election in history, and both of the leading nominees for both parties are the most despised in history. That's just, the polling says that. People hate the choice between these two. It's not like most of the time where it's like, oh, well, all politicians suck. No, literally everybody dislikes these two.
And apparently America forgets that we can vote in somebody else who's not
right
running.
Yeah, you'd think. Or you can vote for a third party. You know, Gary Johnson is the Libertarian nominee. He's running. He's actually polling at 10% right now, which is pretty interesting.
Wasn't there a big thing with the Libertarian Party? Didn't something crazy happen with their convention?
Of course, it was the Libertarian National Convention. Yeah. A bunch of Looney Tunes showed up, and the one guy was trying to get elected to the party chairman, and he stripped down and danced around on stage in a thong. Well, the funny thing is, even Gary Johnson, I saw an interview he did with Samantha Bee for her show Full Frontal, and she said, what can we expect from the Libertarian National Convention? He said, you can expect to meet a bunch of very intelligent, well-reasoned, interesting people. He goes, and then you can be expected to meet a bunch of people who are effing crazy. And he's right. Like, there's a lot of nuts that show up.
I always picture, when I think of the Libertarian National Convention, I always picture Yosemite Sam.
Yeah! Tarnation! that kind of thing. But yeah, there is a third party option that people do forget about. But anyway, Republican side, you have Trump. Democratic side, as of last night, Hillary Clinton has secured the number of delegates required for her to be the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, which puts Bernie Sanders on the outs. And that's the thing. Even if he somehow gets the number of delegates required, which he won't, it's not mathematically feasible, but she was the first one to get it, so she still has the nomination locked down. It's not how many have the number, it's who was the first to get to that number.
Do you think, with the amount of supporters he has, Bernie Sanders goes independent?
Well, the problem with an independent run now is this. You're not going to be on the ballot in all 50 states.
Oh.
Because there's cutoff points. You have to get so many signatures to get on the ballot in a state by a certain date. And I think something 10 to 20 states, their cutoffs have already gone away.
Okay.
So that's the thing. Even if you did run independent at this point, you're not going to be on the ballots in all 50 states, and it's extremely unlikely in that instance then that you'd win or even make a marginal impact.
And not only that, if you're independent, you're not making the donation money that you would be if you're running from a party.
Right, yeah. Because that's the thing. The Libertarian Party, which is a viable third-party option, because they're already on all 50 states. Yeah. You know, so that's actually, or like the Green Party, I think, is on quite a few states too. But those are legitimate parties. They're not actually running independent. Running independent at this stage is probably impossible, really.
So he really has to hope for a write-in.
Yeah, that everybody, that a vast majority of Americans write him in. And I kind of, I mean, granted, I didn't really agree with Bernie's policies, but I liked him as a guy. You know what I mean? Like, he seemed like the most genuine, at least. Does that make any sense?
That's because he seemed like the grandpa. You expect him to pull out some Werther's Originals out of his pocket, some hard candies. Come on in, I got you a present from vacation. That's what he was.
I don't trust sales pitches. Just no.
You mean you don't trust like what they promise when they're campaigning?
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course not. What politician in history has ever delivered on all the stuff they promise on when they campaign?
Zero.
Exactly. It almost never happens.
So that look of genuine, I know, is a bunch of BS.
Well, it might have been. Yeah, but I just mean in terms of likability. Of the guys, like the last like five or six that were left, he was probably the most likable in terms of, oh, hey, I don't want to smash him over the head with a hammer.
I'm on the side of they're a politician. I want nothing to do with them.
Yeah, but I trust that, you know, I wasn't supporting him, but you got to kind of believe in Bernie just simply because he went into a DeLorean and went into the future. He's Doc Brown. He is Doc Brown. Have you ever seen the guy? He knows what's going to happen.
You know what, though? The one thing about this election that has really been great has been the jokes. Like the SNL sketches and everything else.
Oh, they've been top-notch.
What's his name? Larry David does the best Bernie. Yeah. He does Bernie Sanders better than Bernie Sanders does Bernie Sanders. And what's her name is Clinton is great. And we even got to see Tina Fey reenact Sarah Palin a couple times when she came out for Trump. So that's the thing. For the jokes, it's been great. Late night TV has been at the top of its game with this election, and it's only going to improve as we head into the general.
Well, think about it. The two people that could win are going to be amazing comedy.
Are the most hated candidates in history. We've said that.
The era of broadcast media that's about to come into America is going to be the greatest of all time. I mean, politically, it's going to be the worst, but
I said, the country,
broadcast is going to be awesome.
The country is going to go down like the Hindenburg, but we'll be laughing all the way to the ground as our hair burns off our bodies and our, you know, scorched clothes flit away into the breeze. We'll still be laughing, at least.
Oh, the humanity.
This is why I live in a box.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. See, what I don't understand, though, is if these two really are polled, according to polling, they're the most despised political candidates in history. As I said, this is the two of them are the most despised candidate for either party in history. Where are all their votes coming from? How are they doing so well? I don't get it.
It's the Nickelback theory. Everybody's going to say they hate him, but somebody's buying those tickets.
That's right. Yeah. Who's buying Nickelback albums? Every album goes platinum. How does that happen?
It's the same theory with the votes.
Every show sells out. It blows my mind. I don't understand it.
Only 20% of people are voting. 80% of people are like, we're not voting for those people. And then
I would
real
be
20%.
One of the 80%.
You never vote ever?
Nope.
Really?
Nothing.
I mean, I made that number up, but you get my point.
Oh, right.
Are you one of those people who believes that my vote doesn't count?
No, I just refuse to vote.
You just don't care?
I just don't care.
I'm shocked that Mickey would be the one to not care.
Hmm.
Did you detect all of the sarcasm in that statement? It was dripping with it.
Tripping. Oh, that's disgusting.
You could collect that sarcasm into a jar and have sarcasm honey.
Honey, that was a neat angle you went on.
Yeah,
there.
I was going with beehive. That's what I went with. The comparison.
I want a t-shirt that says I went beehive.
I went beehive with my metaphor.
100% beehive.
I think it worked. So yeah, this election's going to be fun for jokes anyway. For jokes.
Be good for us.
As long as Trump keeps saying racist things and Hillary continues to be a criminal, I think we're all going to have a really hearty time laughing ourselves to our doom.
Hey, since you mentioned beehive, do you know what's the one bee that gives milk?
What?
The booby.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not funny and nobody likes you.
Are you CM Punk? Let's see you win a fight.
Hey, America. Good luck.
The early bird catches the worm, but the early worm gets ruthlessly devoured by a gigantic superior predator. Maybe we'll just sleep in today. This is a freak accident.
Power shots of Brock Lesnar. It is all over. Wow, Lesnar.
And I'm back.
What?
My mind blew up on Saturday night.
Yeah, when this news dropped, my first instinct was, well, WWE's going to have a hard time now that he's gone. I thought that he had just straight up left WWE.
Why wouldn't you think it? Somebody of that age to do, almost like a Bo Jackson, do two sports of heavy physicality, and he's going to do it. He's going to do UFC and then SummerSlam 43 days later.
I honestly think if anybody could pull it off, it would be Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know he was a very successful MMA fighter a number of years ago, but he had a big health issue that stopped him. What was it?
He had a diverticulitis.
That's right.
Yeah, that was what knocked him out the last time.
What is that?
It's some kind of, what is it exactly? It's like a degenerative disease, isn't it?
It's an intestinal thing. I don't know if it's caused by, but I know it's affected by and why he had to stop. A lot of the supplements that you take, seeds.
Oh,
a lot of
okay.
Seedy things will flare it up. Again, it has to do with your stomach and... In that kind of sport, you can't have that kind of mess up.
It screws with your stomach, with your core. It messes up your digestive capabilities and things like that. And that's the thing. It was bad news. People were worried he was, like, going to die, actually, because he was really sick for a while.
That's why he had to get out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he wasn't operating at 100% those last couple fights. It's like, so, but now, a couple years later, like, he's been treating it, you know, but he seems to be in the best shape of his life right now. Like, he's just...
He's, I hate to use this word, but a beast.
He's a freak of nature. He really is. He's a genetically superior being. Like, there's no other way you can describe him. He's obnoxiously strong. He's way faster than anyone of his size should be. And he's got the amateur wrestling background, too. He was like a world champion amateur wrestler or something like that.
He was one of the best amateur wrestlers, and that's what makes him dangerous. Is they say if it's a straight out punch, he might lose. But once he gets you to the ground, it's over.
So now the big news was that Brock Lesnar will be returning to the UFC for a one-off fight at UFC 200 on July 9th in Las Vegas. Interestingly enough, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how much of a flop UFC 200 was going to be.
Oops.
There weren't any big marquee matches.
Like,
holy crap, did they pull this one out?
Yeah.
And apparently it's not WWE granted him the ability to do this. The way that he got permission to do it is kind of funny.
Yeah, he was talking to ESPN, and here's what he said.
Curious how the conversation went with Vince McMahon.
I said, listen, old man, we can do this the hard way or the easy way. I said, do you want to arm wrestle for it? And he's like, yeah, what the hell? So I end up beating him, and here we are.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
Apparently, that's how you get things done with Vince. Dolph Ziggler, start doing like bicep curls. Get ready to arm wrestle Vince and tell him you want the championship.
I really hope that's a true story.
I don't think it went down that way, but I kind of do hope it did.
With the stories I've heard about Vince McMahon, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so they granted him, and a lot of people are trying to say, oh, this might lead into something with WWE and UFC. I just think it was him. He wanted to get that last fight out.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted to be able to get one more fight in while he's still capable of doing it, because he said that ever since he made the decision to go back to WWE and to forego UFC, it's been haunting him for 15 months. So maybe this is just a way for him to have closure, maybe.
And not only that, for UFC, it's a huge fight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, it's going to make a lot of money for them and for him.
Yeah.
He's going to line his pocketbooks with what he gets from taking a couple punches.
Yep.
And WWE is playing a big game of poker right now. If he wins that fight, they now have a guy they could say beat up a guy in UFC. Like, the last match he faced, which was not too long ago, he's going into SummerSlam and he beat that guy. That is huge.
He's fighting Mark Hunt, who I guess has a more or less lukewarm, what would you call it?
12-10 record?
Yeah, 12-10-1 is his record. Yeah, lukewarm record. That's what I was going to say. He's not a super all-star, but I mean, you can't feed Lesnar your top guy. You know what I mean? Like, because you want Lesnar to have a decent enough fight. You know what I mean? You want it to be competitive. You don't want him to just... Or you want him to sort of be able to win. You know, yeah. you don't want him to lose, though. That's the point that I'm making.
How old is Lesnar?
He's almost 40. He's 38. Like 38, yeah.
Okay, so I mean, he's still physically... should be near his prime. When is the fight UFC 200 coming up?
July.
July 9th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one thing to Mark Hunt's credit, he's known to have very strong punches. One of the strongest punches in the UFC.
He's coming off a first-round knockout over Frank Mir in March.
Okay.
Frank Mir's a UFC legend.
but he has one of the hardest punches in the UFC. One criticism about Brock Lesnar is he has a weak chin. If he gets punched in the chin once, that's what they're saying. If he leaves one opening, it's possible Mark Hunt could take this match.
Interesting. So it might end up being competitive. Who knows?
It all depends how fast Brock Lesnar could get him to the ground.
Yeah.
That's all what it's all about.
12-10-1, that guy's almost 500. That's what I mean. So it could really go either way. I mean, I might have to watch UFC 200 now. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
The fight that should be good.
When this news dropped, Lazy E and I looked at each other and we said, there's only one person we can talk to about this.
Yeah, it's our best friend in the world.
Yeah, our correspondent on the streets, streets being internet in this case, and a Lazy E and I were lucky enough to get him on the phone for a couple minutes while we were at work on our lunch hour. We squeezed in this talk the other day, so we're going to give it to you right now. The thoughts from the doc, Chad Matthews.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case
of suffering succotash, son.
From WrestlingHeadlines.com/LordsOfPain.net, it is the doc himself, Chad Matthews, on a freak accident right now. Doc, thanks for calling in and just talking with us real quick, because this whole thing with Brock Lesnar and UFC 200 is kind of big news in the wrestling world right now.
I 100% agree. Totally unexpected, but definitely big news.
Well, what we wanted to know is, you know, we've been wondering, is this a way for the WWE and the UFC to kind of build a relationship? Do you think that's what's going on here?
Well, I think time will tell on that front. You could certainly speculate that that could be the case. It's an unprecedented scenario where a fight's going to take place featuring someone under contract with WWE. It could just be a situation where Brock Lesnar is a special superstar and he holds a little bit of leverage. So this could be an example of him simply exercising the leverage that comes with being such a special performer. But could it build a relationship? Sure.
Speaking of leverage, Brock Lesnar, we played it a little bit earlier. Did you see that thing? Brock said he arm wrestled Vince to get to do that.
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, that was, he claimed that apparently, according to him, he said, listen here, old man, this is how it's going to go. We're going to arm wrestle for it. And according to Brock anyway, Vince said, sure. And Lesnar beat him in the arm wrestling contest because, well, he's Brock Lesnar, and so Vince then allowed him to fight at UFC 200. That's according to Lesnar.
Yes.
And they say Brock Lesnar doesn't have charisma.
You're right, yeah. So, I mean, do you think, you know, we already mentioned, like, do you think this creates a, I can't imagine, my whole thing about this is I think this is just Lesnar wanting to get back to UFC and do one more fight, because he has said that his decision to not go with the UFC 15 months ago has been haunting him. I think this is just him. I really don't think that there's much more out there, but you've got everybody out there now claiming that, this is going to lead to Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 33. Do you see that happening, or do you really think that there's an end to this? Or is it literally just Lesnar wanting to get one more match in?
Well, if there's an end beyond just a one-off for Brock Lesnar going back, I honestly don't see it as being an end that favors WWE. The fear I would have if I were a WWE fan is that Brock Lesnar goes out and he kicks Mark Hunt's rear end, and it stimulates for him the desire to then fight again. Like, hey, I can still do this, so let me prove on a bigger stage against a bigger opponent, perhaps the heavyweight champion at the time, that he can still do this. And I think that is where the fear should come in for a WWE performer, or a WWE fan, I should say. I mean, you'd have to think about it in your own life. If you went back and did something that you used to love that you no longer thought you could do, and then you found that you could actually still do that at a very high level, what would make you, I mean, is there a scenario you can envision where you would really just want to do it one more time if you were in the prime of your life and as healthy as you've been in a long time? If you could do it again, then you would think maybe he will want to fight yet again if he does well in this fight in July. So that would be the primary concern, and that's the end that I would foresee. I wouldn't see it being necessarily a relationship gets established between UFC and WWE so much as it becomes just another potential segue for Brock Lesnar to stay in the Ultimate Fighting world.
Well, that's a very good point, but I think the other scary thing is that Mark Hunt, he has a heavy hand, and he's been known to hit people pretty hard. He clocks him once. Brock gets a concussion. SummerSlam, which they're booking him for, is 43 days away in New York. According to the New York State Commission, if you get a concussion in professional sports, you have to stay out at least, I think, a month to a month and a half, which then jeopardizes all of SummerSlam.
Hmm. Interesting point. I think there will be enough time between the two events to allow him. If it's a month, then that's enough time. If it's a month and a half, then that's close to it. You're talking about 43 versus 45 days. I'm sure they could figure that out. Obviously, the risk of injury for SummerSlam is a significant one, but I think with an athlete like Brock Lesnar, you're going to expect that the downside is far outweighed by the upside. I think for WWE, it's definitely a coup to get what presumably will be their biggest SummerSlam attraction onto one of the biggest sporting events of the summer, 1 month prior to their second biggest event of the year. So assuming that injury doesn't happen, then I think it could be great for WWE in the short term.
Doc, one last question, and then we'll let you go. Brock Lesnar's opponent at UFC 200, Mark Hunt, is Samoan. Did he pick that on purpose because he still harbors resentment toward Roman Reigns?
Oh, man. I assume that's a tongue-in-cheek question. I'll give it a tongue-in-cheek response. I would use that if I were Mark Hunt. I would use that in my verbal barrage I throw at Brock Lesnar prior to the fight and see if he can get in his head. Who knows?
Well, you know, we've established that every Samoan in the world is a part of the Rocks family.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes it, it's probably just, yeah.
Well, Doc, thank you for joining us once again. I'm sure we'll check into you once we hit that SummerSlam match with Brock.
Absolutely. And you can always find the Doc on Twitter, at the Doc LOP. You can read his articles on lordsofpain.net/wrestlingheadlines.com and check out his own podcast, The Doc Says, on LOP Radio. So, Doc, thank you so much for taking the time to call in and chat with us about this today, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. It was very nice of the Doc to take that time out to talk to Lazy E and I.
Yeah.
So, glad we got that out of the way. Brock Lesnar, best of luck, man. I'll be watching. Up next, what are you doing that makes people instantly dislike you? We'll find out on A Freak Accident.
Love us, hate us. You can still like us on Facebook.
Gee whiz. That sounds like so much fun.
Facebook.com/A Freak Accident Podcast.
The 7 things I hate about you.
My favorite.
Miley Cyrus, really?
Yeah. Why not? She's our generation's Mozart.
What did you just say?
She's our generation's Mozart.
All right, I'm going to have to remove Lazy E from our staff, I think. You're going to need to get kicked off the show.
Why? Because I like good music?
So you wanted
Mickey
to...
Mickey is speechless. Her mouth is hanging open. She's like...
I have nothing. What just happened?
So you want to beat me?
Can I strangle him?
You want to beat me with, you know, because I'm going to get your internet shut off to death. But he says that and you're just going to kick him off the show?
No, I'm going to beat you with him now. That's what's going to happen. He's going to be my instrument of destruction now.
Just a party in the USA.
All right, no! All right. Look. Okay, here's, you know what? There's something I hate about you. You keep doing that. I hate that about you, that you like Miley Cyrus.
So what are 12 things from Business Insider you're doing that make people instantly dislike you? Like, this is the kind of thing, it's not something that, like, over time it annoys people. People notice this about you and they instantly can't stand you. What are some of these things? What are some of them on this table, around this table, would we say?
Sarcasm.
You can't stand sarcasm, and yet you're on this show.
Yeah, that's not good.
We are nothing.
It's not good sarcasm. It's the bad sarcasm, the where people are trying to be sarcastic and they can't do it.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. So somebody does that and you instantly don't like them.
Yep.
Okay. Ian?
I can actually... and agree with you. I've known people, especially at the station, who are trying to be sarcastic, but they just come off as being jerks.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Well, there's a litany of things. I mean, if you want me to go down the book of things that instantly annoy me, but I'd have to say somebody that says like too much. I know that's an obvious one, but it's like this, like that, like, or somebody that takes too long to get to the end of the story.
Okay.
I think it's the radio thing inside of me. I know how to crunch the details. I'm like,
wrap it up. Come on. Come on. Post into the song, idiot.
20-second intro. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. For me, I think it would be sort of like, but awkward speech patterns. Verbal tics. Things that people have in their mouths when they speak that really get under my skin.
So anything that comes out of my mouth.
No, you don't really have any verbal tics. I mean, things that when people repeat words too often, or they make noises with their lips, they smack their lips when they talk too much, or they, yeah, you can't enunciate properly. Things like that really annoy me. That's really, some people really can't even help that, but.
I think there's like a disease about that, the way people speak.
Dope tongue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
scientific. I'm sorry, dope tongue-itis.
Another thing I hate is when, you know, you're from a certain area and you have a favorite sports team, and someone who doesn't like that sport at all will give you crud for that team.
Do you know what I just realized after we went over everything that we hate?
You didn't mention Pittsburgh Steelers.
No. Everything that we hate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That would be how many things we hate?
The 7 things I hate about you!
This is why Miley Cyrus is a goddess!
No.
I hate everything about my life.
Nostradamus right there.
I love everything about my life except for Lazy.
Let's see. Mickey's number one thing that people do that make her dislike them. Are they Lazy E? Yes or no? All right, so here's this list from Business Insider, though. One is sharing too many photos on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a big one.
Posting too many photos on Facebook can hurt your real-life relationships. Friends don't like when you've got too many photos of family. Relatives don't like when you've got too many photos of friends. So just too many photos. Why you gotta show everybody what you're doing all the time? Nobody really cares.
And are you really doing anything if you're posting them all the time?
Yeah, you're not that interesting.
Well, they must care if it annoys them.
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But they care in a negative way.
Still caring.
Flawed right. System.
Yeah. It's like if I build an instrument of destruction, I'm still a builder, technically, right?
Yeah,
even though I'm using my built invention to wreck other things.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey. Your logic doesn't make sense. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Perfect sense.
Okay. Number two is having too many or too few friends on Facebook.
That's stupid.
That seems awfully nitpicky.
Yeah.
You can't have too few, but you can't have too many. It's got to be just right. Okay, Goldilocks.
I remember when Facebook first came out and everyone was trying to get, where they were in that race of trying to get the most friends before anyone else would. Yeah.
In one study, likability ratings were lowest when a profile owner had only about 100 friends, and almost as low when they had more than 300. So, yeah, I never really trust anybody who's got double-digit friends on Facebook. It's like, what's your deal? Why don't many people like you?
Double digits?
Double digits?
Yeah.
People like 20?
Yeah. I've seen those people.
Oh, okay, too less.
Yeah, that's what I mean, too few. You can't, like, 63 friends. What are you hiding? Why don't people trust you to friend you on Facebook?
That's probably because they're spam ads.
You'll notice I'm looking at Mickey when I'm talking
about this. Yeah.
It's probably because I ignore all the friend requests.
Ah.
Because remember, my old one had over like 600, and then I deleted it, and now I have, I think like 100. And it keeps climbing. I need to delete some people.
So see, I gotta get rid of some of these.
I don't know you in real life. Go away.
I gotta separate the wheat from the chaff here. This is getting bad. So we've got number three is disclosing something extremely personal too early in the relationship. Disclosing something too intimate when you're still getting to know someone can make you seem insecure. Instead, try talking about your hobbies and favorite childhood memories.
No, I get that. If you share something about your relationship a month in,
something that's really weird about you, like right out of the gate.
I guess. I don't know.
I knew Lazy E for 10 minutes before he brought up the megacolon.
That's true. But you know what? I like to test the waters. I bend the line so much that there's no room for error.
Right. So you give people basically an A or B choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can respect that.
You know, I get why people are mad about, you know, bringing up these personal things, like hitting somebody so hard, because really it comes in like a cannonball. Another great hit from the greatness that is Miley Cyrus. Thank you.
Number four, asking someone questions without talking about yourself at all. Yeah, again, how can I trust
you? That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, self-disclosure has to be mutual. People generally like you less if you don't reciprocate when they disclose something intimate. So when somebody's telling you about themselves and you don't say anything about you, you refuse to give out any personal information whatsoever. Could get kind of sketchy.
But that is where it hurts guys, because guys are always told, don't talk about yourself when you're on a first date.
This is true.
Always ask the question. So you're asking them, and now we're finding out this is screwing everything up.
Yeah.
Now we got to find that sweet spot, like the friends on Facebook.
Yeah. No. I don't want to talk about me. They're going to think you have, like, people tied up in your basement. That's what they're going to think.
What if I do?
It's also on the girl's end to ask questions, you know, that communication. You know, helpful.
Show some interest in the person who's trying to, like, wine and dine you.
Yeah,
get to notice you. Yeah, get to like you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Both ways.
There you go. See, look, Mickey, defending the rights of people with relationships. Number five.
Or at least trying to get into them.
Posting a close-up profile photo. Research suggests that faces photographed from about 1.5 feet away are considered less trustworthy, attractive, and competent than faces photographed from about 4.5 feet away.
That is totally my profile picture.
I'm going to try to take one right now.
So in other words, if you take a selfie, people hate you.
More or less. I mean, they're talking about, in the little image here, it's literally the face is the entire picture.
That's my profile picture.
Yeah. What about this one?
Oh, that is beautifully.
Lazy E's going to post this one on our Facebook page, so you'll be able to reference it.
It's a beautiful close-up of my face. I think I'd get a lot of
This will be our Instagram post for tonight.
Man, you look terrifying in that picture.
What are you talking about? I look great. What the? I've got some greasy skin. What's going on there? I got to get that proactive stuff.
Maybe that's the thing. When the picture is so close, you can see into the person's pores. Yeah, I can see how that might creep some people out.
I think I can see what I was thinking then, too. Why is there a dent in my head?
Number six, hiding your emotions. Scientists say that letting your real feelings come through is a better strategy for getting people to like you than bottling it all up.
False. You put all that on Facebook, I will hate you.
Yeah, no. We read a thing about that recently that said people don't care about your personal problems. They don't care about your emotions online.
Yeah, nobody wants to know what I really think about them. It's a bad idea.
Wait, She's looking at me. Hold on.
Yeah. I gotta ask, what do you think of me?
You're an idiot.
If that's the worst it is, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how my emotions are. I'm really sad. I've got a wicked slant on my nose in this picture.
Yeah.
You got to see this on our Facebook.
And you've got that sloping forehead, too.
I know. What the heck happened?
Number seven is acting too nice. One study found that acting too altruistically can make you look bad. Or, like, you have ulterior motives. It's okay to say no sometimes, as long as you explain why you can't commit.
I have ulterior motives.
Again, looking at me. What are you plotting?
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm well-armed and trained. I will defend myself.
I'm not worried about it.
I think the problem here is you're not going to know what's coming, so none of that is going to mean crap.
Yeah, pretty much.
Number eight is humble bragging. To impress friends or potential employers, avoid complimenting yourself and trying to disguise it as self-criticism. The behavior could be a turnoff. You've never heard of humble bragging?
No, I've dealt with it. I'm just processing that.
It's like when you see people, like, just helping out the homeless today, you know? We all got to do what we can. It's like, okay, you humble bragging piece of crap.
When I was a manager, that was usually the first thing that made me go, yeah, no, you're not hired. You're not. Nope, you're off the list. That's it. We got three questions in, and that's all you got.
There you go. That's coming from a boss, somebody who is critiquing you while you're sitting in that chair answering their questions.
How you guys doing? Sorry I'm late. I just got done running that marathon for March of Dimes. Took up my whole morning, you know what I'm talking about?
Basically the same thing, yeah. I'm just so exhausted.
No excuse.
Oh. That really is annoying. I can't stand that. Number nine, getting too nervous.
That could show you're guilty.
The odor of your nervous sweat may subconsciously influence people's judgments of your personality, making you seem less competent, confident, and trustworthy.
So if you smell, people hate you.
Number 10, not having a sense of humor. There's a reason to loosen up around the office. One study found that workers who were particularly uptight were less well-liked by their coworkers.
I think we've all dealt with that.
The person who's a grump?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, we all dealt with that.
What are you laughing at?
I can't say.
Oh, I probably can pick one or two or three or four.
You know who I'm talking about. I just can't say it.
Yeah.
No, but I've always viewed our work, where me and Chris go work, as a place. That's why I always joke around. If I don't, I'm going to be miserable.
Yeah.
I'm going to be just pissed off.
Things that we've learned, though, there are people there who can't take a joke.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Including some people I actually like there.
Right. Yeah.
And you got to, now I got to tiptoe around what I say. I'm like pressing the brake every time I talk to them.
Yeah. It's like, wait, I liked you. I thought I could trust you. Yeah. Now, you know, I got to pretend.
There's one person. Because
you get really easily offended.
Liked, past tense.
Right.
Yep.
That's, yeah. Used to. Used to Thanks. Like you. Yeah.
Jeez. I don't work there anymore. I hope they don't, they're not talking about me.
Oh, yeah. How is your new job?
I haven't started yet, so I'm on vacation. It's great.
Number 11, not smiling. I like that the cartoon is Kanye West. Not smiling. One study found that women smiling were perceived as more likable than women who weren't smiling, regardless of their particular body position. Well, yeah, anybody heard of resting bitch face? We've heard of that, right? That's a real issue. You don't have it, Mickey.
Sometimes I do.
Do you?
If I'm concentrating at work and I'm not paying attention to what's going on around me, people look at me like, are you okay? And I turn and I smile and I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, I was counting. Like, I can't do two things at once.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember when resting bitch face was just called constipated face.
Mickey, what have we told you? Don't drink in the middle of a segment. It's bad for you. Mm-hmm. Spit takes happen. And number 12, acting like you don't like someone. When we think someone likes us, we tend to like them as well. In one study, people liked other group members more after they were told that those group members would probably like them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't go in with a bad attitude.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes total
sense. So those are things, those are 12 things you do that make people instantly dislike you. I think it could be summed up in just lighten up.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know, we would like to hear what makes you dislike people.
Exactly. Send an email, freaks@afreakaccident.com.
I'm gonna punch Mickey in the face.
Jeez.
A freak accident, as entertaining as a car crash. That may seem morbid, but hey, people love car crashes. Why do you really think NASCAR is so popular?
Let the bodies hit the road. Let the bodies hit the road. Let the bodies.
Hey, a song from 2000 making a sudden comeback now that a video has gone viral of a contestant on America's Got Talent covering this song.
I've never been more disappointed for not watching America's Got Talent.
Well, nobody watches that show. I don't know how it's still on television.
Yeah, it's on the right time. It's around when sweeps are over.
Yeah, right. So this show has given us people like, who was that, the girl who did like that opera song?
Oh,
she did the song from Les Mis, right?
She was a really old lady,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was born out of American Idol. So I think this guy, this 82-year-old dude, John Hetlinger is his name. He might have a bright career ahead of him after this. He's getting a lot of attention. He's a former Navy pilot and program manager for the instrument that repaired the Hubble Space Telescope. He was an astrospace engineer.
So he's bored.
Probably,
okay.
Yeah. My question is, why drowning pool? Like, I really want to know why he took to drowning pool so well.
Especially for what he did for work. That song was banned for a while, like from radio play back in, what, 2001?
Right, after September 11th, right. Yeah. Because they thought it was insensitive. Bodies hitting the floor and things, people jumping out of buildings,
yeah,
and whatnot.
Yeah, well.
Like, he said he loved karaoke. I'm wondering if he just got done with all the songs and he just started out of going to any of them.
What's this, drowning pool bodies? Let me try this one.
Plus, let's face it, he's a smart dude. He knew what was going to get him the most attention doing
true.
That song.
Ah, yeah, yeah. So he's from Broomfield, Colorado. He had previously shared video clips of himself singing Bodies on YouTube.
Yeah.
So he kind of had a following already doing karaoke.
Okay.
Actually doing it. So then he's on America's Got Talent. Now, here's the thing. I've seen this. It's not particularly good, but it's still awesome. And you need to see the video. You can see it now at afreakaccident.com. You've got to hear this.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
The crowd's face is like,
let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
Awesome! That crowd is good.
Yeah. They love this dude.
You know what? I think
the best thing is he's like dancing around on the stage too. Simon Cowell doesn't know what to do.
He's laughing.
Whenever Bernie Sanders is finally done running for president, can he do it with this guy?
Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with
yeah!
Me. Something's got to give. Something's got to
Here it comes. This is great. I think we're just happy to see an old guy not sound like Dev.
Dude, he's having a blast. That's what I wish this guy was my grandpa. What? This guy is incredible.
When he hits the end of this song, too, here it comes. He's going though. Boom! Again, like I said, and I didn't mean that as a joke. So many people of that age just give up.
Yeah,
this guy sounds
like bedridden, or like he could barely get around your house. This guy's up on stage singing a heavy metal song.
He's acting like he's in his 60s, but he's gonna live a long life.
I hope so, man. He seems like he would be one of the coolest dudes to ever hang out with. I want to drink a beer with this guy, and I want him to be my grandpa. take me to the park, grandpa. We can listen to Megadeth the whole way there.
So on our list of people to have beers with, Marty Ray and that guy.
Yes, absolutely. Let's get both of them together.
Ooh, only good things can happen with that.
That's what I'm saying. And us there, too.
Yeah, but if he gets mad at us, I'm scared when he screams.
I love the reaction of the judges in that video, too. Like, nobody gave him the axe. Like, they were stunned.
The audience reaction was the... Because they first had the stunned face when they heard the music start, and then when he started singing, you heard them go, you saw the devil horns go up, and it's like, yeah!
People were headbanging in the crowd, and everything is awesome.
Yeah, suddenly all the heavy metal fans are watching America's Got Talent.
Yeah, right?
Again, check that video out. It's at a freak accident. That wraps up this week's episode. Mickey, what do our listeners need to do to keep up with us and keep in touch with us?
Well, they need to go to afreakaccident.com, and you can go to connect on the menu bar and find us on our social media pages.
Yeah! She got it right!
The bodies hit the bar!
She got it right!
I'm sorry.
Ahead,
sorry.
I'll get it wrong next week, and it'll be fine. Facebook.
Twitter, Instagram.
All that stuff.
Also, to download our show, go to iTunes, subscribe there, right?
Correct.
Yes, and leave a good review, too.
That
help
would
us
be
find
helpful,
the stars.
Too.
And Android users can find us where?
Google Play Music.
Yes.
I got that right.
The brand new podcast section, we're there, too. And, of course, if you want to contact...
contact us?
Your grammar sucks so much.
I almost made it through the whole show. What do they need to do to contact us?
Send us an email to freaks@afreakaccident.com.
God bless you. Ah. Tears in my eye.
Yeah.
Do you feel special?
Our little girl's growing up.
She's there.
Let's never say that again.
You know what, though? I figured we could do something. Muhammad Ali died. You had Kimbo Slice died. All these people have been dying this year. And I had this idea. Lazy E and I had talked about this a while ago. What would our obituaries look like?
Ooh. I like that.
So next week on the show, we are going to write our own obituaries. And we are going to read them on a freak accident. So come back next week to hear that. If one of us dies this year, if 2016 claims somebody from this show, which who knows at this point, all of us are mortal, we'll find out what our obituaries are. That's next week on the show. So make sure you come back again, afreakaccident.com. For a freak accident, my name is Critta.
Your grammar sucks so much.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Hey,
Critto.
Critto.
What's your name?
Thanks for downloading and listening. For a freak accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Levity. I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given
until there's a freak accident.
The 7 things I hate about you.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
No! Son of a bitch!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, a freak accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.